I can't see with them on. I can't see without them. Okay. All right. So, how many of you are excited about the new building? Oh, man. And I don't mean just like, oh, all right, we're moving. No, I mean, we're moving. We're moving. We should be jumping out of our seats. We should be excited. It's an answered prayer, folks. It's an answered prayer. We've been praying and praying and praying for what, 4 years now? Get us out of here, Lord. Look, thank God for this place. Thank God for this place, because this place was here when it started to rain and we were out in the front yard. This place was here for us. God opened up a door and we didn't have to go through any bad weather. Amen. Amen. I don't know what you guys see here, but this thing gets all messed up when it gets wet. It just goes everywhere. All three of these hairs gone. Look, we should be excited. We should be excited. All right? We should really have that joy in our heart, knowing that God is answering our prayers, knowing that God hasn't left us nor forsaken us, that he hasn't turned from us. We should be excited about those things. Now, knowing that we're going to move, that the faithful few will be moving, the message kind of goes along with it. All right? If you feel offended, come see me. Come see me outside, and we'll pray. Okay? Turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14. It's a beautiful time right now, you know? Like pastors were saying, you know, a lot of us were getting to that point where it's just, you know, I want to throw in the towel. I'm tired. Look, for myself, let me tell you, it's a long drive. It's a long drive. When God said, look, I need you to go out there, I was thinking, what is that? Huh? What is it? I don't have the bulletin anymore. Oh, yeah, it's God's plan. Praise the Lord. It's God's plan. See what happens when you guys give me a closed bulletin and tell me, just read this. Stay on track. It's part of God's plan. But listen, when God told me, hey, you need to go out there, I said, are you sure? Are you sure? It's 25 miles. Are you sure I should be going out there? You know, Sunday mornings are pretty easy. It takes me about 35 minutes to get here. Not a problem. Thursday nights, well, an hour 15, hour 20 minutes, you know? And look, Lord, you know I'm not complaining. I do all my complaining on the freeway. I'm not complaining in front of you guys, but it does get difficult. It does get hard. And when you see that we slow down, that there's no more oomph, that there's no more excitement, that not only the congregation, but I myself was feeling that man, you know, are you still with us? Are you still for us? And you don't see God's hand move. It gets difficult, folks. It gets difficult. I don't blame anybody for feeling kind of down. I don't blame you, because we're all human. We're all human. We get to that point. But it's funny how that point, when you get to that point, when you finally say, you know what, that's it, I'm done, I'm tired, it just whatever, and we take our hands off the wheel, God says, okay, my turn. You know, we have to learn to do that a little sooner than later. Should it have taken us 4 years here to move forward? He showed us the building 2 years ago. He showed us the building 2 years ago. The children of Israel walked around a mountain for 40 years when it was a three-week walk. And he showed them the promised land 40 years beforehand. Folks, this is not in my message. It's a freebie. We need to learn to open our eyes, open our ears. Be able to say, Lord, I know you're still with me because of the promises that he gives us in this book. We need to learn to take our hands off the wheel. Say, Lord, whatever you have for me. Right? Chapter 14. That was just a freebie. I don't know where it came from. Glory to God. Chapter 14, verses 10 through 15. The word of God reads like this. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Something beautiful there. They finally cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may just serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians, whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry out to me? Tell the children of Israel to move forward. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before your mighty throne of grace this morning. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your grace. We thank you for your mercies that are renewed daily. We thank you, Father God, that you are still here. We welcome your Holy Spirit into this place. We ask that your hands would just be upon us, Father God, that you would open our minds, our hearts, our ears, that we would hear your word as it comes forth. I pray, Father God, that you would remove me from this equation, that it would be you speaking to your children, Father God. Remove me now, Father God, and let your spirit flow freely. I thank you for everything that you're doing. I lift up Pastor Larry, George, and our pastors, Dennis and Denise. And I just thank you for what you're doing in their lives. I praise you. I love you, Father. In Jesus' beautiful name, we have prayed this morning. Let's give God praise. Amen. That's a beautiful portion of Scripture, folks. I know some people see it as, man, God's mad. He's not mad. He's not mad. He loves us. But in this portion of Scripture, we find the children of Israel in a desperate place. Desperate place. Have you ever found yourself in a desperate place? Have you ever been in a place like maybe surrounded by people that want to do you harm, that don't want to just mingle with you? They're more after you than for you. You know what I mean? Maybe you found yourself overwhelmed by financial strain. Ooh, come on. I got one hand up. Let's make it two. Perhaps you found yourself in some type of personal problem. Maybe you're going through something within yourself. Maybe you're struggling with something that you have that's inside of you. You don't tell nobody about it, but you're struggling. And you guys know exactly the one I'm talking about. We struggle with that thing. It's inside of us. It won't let us go, and we won't let it go. Maybe you found yourself in a place where everything just seems to overwhelm you, and you've come to a place of difficulty and desperation. Have you gotten to that point in life where it just seems that the enemy kept on harassing you, keeps on stopping you from your destiny? Have you gotten to that point where you're just ready to give up? I know a lot of us have. I know a lot of us feel like you know what? I give up. I'm done. I'm tired. It happens all around. It doesn't just happen to pastors. It happens all around. Your hope has been altered. Your faith is fading. Your victory has vanished. But our text here shows us that indeed this was the situation with Israel. For they were caught in a place of desperation. They were caught between a rock and a hard place. They were in that point in their lives where they couldn't turn back and yet were afraid to move forward. In the same way, I've discovered that in life, that's just how it is, you know? We're just like the Israelites. Many of us have been enslaved and overwhelmed by the enemy. Some have been overcome and dazed by the devil and his henchmen. Anybody ever feel like that? Or is it just me? It seems like the more you work at stuff, the more you try to move forward, you feel that you're in a daze and it's not going. It's not going the way you've planned it. See, our modern day Pharaoh has literally withdrawn us from our destiny. He has stopped us from moving forward. He has taken his position to halt what God is doing in our lives. The bad thing about it is that we allow him. We let him stop us in our tracks. We let him just say, hey, wait a minute. You can't move forward, type of person you are. You call yourself a pastor? How could you? The enemy has convinced us he has convinced us to identify ourselves as property instead of people. He has given us false definitions of who we are. Where we have come from and what contributions we're giving to the people around us, to the community that we're in, to our family, our friends. He has stopped us from moving forward. He's got us in such a state that we literally have become frozen in our tracks. We have become frozen in our tracks. Our scripture this morning says that Pharaoh drew near and the Israelites were afraid. Pharaoh drew near and the Israelites were afraid. Why were they afraid? Why was it that they were so scared? You think it was for their life? You know why we get so afraid? We stop believing in our prayers. We stop putting our prayers in God's hands and saying, you know what? I've asked for too much. We say, God, deliver me from this. Deliver me from the smoking. Deliver me from smoking, Lord. And when he delivers you, what do you say? Well, I'm just going to go get another pack because I don't think he's delivered me. We hold on to it. We grab it and we keep it. You know, it took me 2 years after I was saved to let go of smoking. I had prayed. I had fasted. I had done everything for 2 years. Finally, I got to the point in my life where I was desperate. I said, you know what? I need somebody to pray over me so I would be healed, so I would be delivered from this. I need that. So I started following people around. I'd hear, oh, man, this guy touched me and my back was healed and this guy laid hands on me and my mind was renewed. So I started following him around. I finally found myself in a tent revival. Pastor Bobby Amesqua, I walked up to the man. I said, Pastor, I have trouble smoking. I've been praying for 2 years. I've been asking for deliverance and God hasn't heard me. I don't know what to do. He said, why don't you stop buying them? And boom, it was an epiphany. He said, you've been delivered from the beginning, son. The moment you asked, your deliverance was there. The very time you said, Lord, help me to stop smoking, it was there. But you continued to hold on to it. You continued to grab hold of it. You kept on going back to buy these things. Stop going to buy them. Let them go. Folks, we struggle with these things in our lives. I can't stop looking at these pictures. Stop opening your phone. Get out of Facebook. I can't stop. You know, I hear one thing and I have to run and tell somebody else, you know, and I can't stop gossiping. Well, maybe you should stop hearing it in the first place. Right? If it entices you, if it draws you to it, stop doing it. Just cut it. Cut it. I'm angry at all times. Well, maybe you should fill yourself up with the word. I'm just saying. I don't know these things. I'm just saying. Our scripture this morning says that when Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites were afraid. How afraid are we? How afraid are we? They're afraid to move forward because it seems too impossible to go through what is before them. Anybody? They're afraid to turn back because it's those things that behind them are those things that held them, that stopped them from moving forward into their promise. That's where we're at. Come on now, folks. Don't get quiet on me. That's where we're at. We're at that place where we've prayed for these things. We've prayed, Lord, get us out of here. Lord, move us forward. You, Lord, there's destiny in us. Show us the way to go. And when it comes to pass, well, I don't think we should go. You know, it's very expensive. Who said you were paying the bill? God's paying for this. God's moving in this. He showed us the building 2 years ago and says, this is what you're going to have. And he knows Pastor Dennis. He knows Pastor Dennis likes the best of everything. He says, I'm going to set it up for you so you don't have to do anything when you get there. We have to read these things, folks. We have to see them. We have to see them in our mind's eye. Beautiful building around beautiful people. Building set for us. For the way that God wants us to go. We're right at the banks of our Red Sea, but we're afraid to move forward. We are afraid to take that step of faith. We're scared to drown in that water that is before us. We're afraid to say, look, God's going to build this house. Well, maybe he's not. But he said he would, but, you know, I'm not sure. You know, so many times has the door been closed on us. So many times has these things been before us, and then all of a sudden we fall, right? And we're afraid. We stop believing in what we're praying for. And in the book of Acts, Peter got locked up and they were about to kill him. So the disciples went into a room, they went and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. The Bible says that they were praying at the midnight hour. And then all of a sudden, he knocks on the door and the servant girl goes out and she looks and she says, she runs back and says, Peter's up at the front door. They're like, girl, you're crazy. That's not Peter, it's probably his angel. What are you praying for then if you're not going to believe when it happens? What are you praying for? What are you praying for that you're not believing when it happens? Folks, understand, our destiny is lying before us. Yeah, the enemy is closing in behind us. He's getting close. But don't be afraid because God is for us. So who can be against us? We desperately want to reach our destiny, and God has prepared us for this. Though we're stuck. We are stuck. We are frozen. We are afraid. Frozen and disabled by doubt. By doubt, folks. By a financial doubt. Thinking, oh man, this building is going to be too much. We're stuck by an emotional doubt. You know, the church is going to get real big and I'm going to lose my friends. I don't know where to turn to. We're stuck by a spiritual bound. That's what's most important. We stop believing in our spirit what God can do for us. Or God, how God can use us. Because of our fear, because of the fear of what's ahead, we're stuck standing at the Red Sea of decision. You know what the problem is? That when you're stuck at that decision point is that you're just standing there. You're not doing anything. You're frozen. You're not moving forward. You're not moving back. You're just stuck. And that's not a good place to be. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to move forward, if you're going to take on that sea, if you're going to move toward past the sea of doubt into the land of promise, then you're going to have to do a few things. And the first one is you're going to have to let go of your past. We have to let go of our past. All right? There's areas in our lives that you got to stop holding on to these things. Let's look at verse 12. I want you guys to see this in verse 12. It says like this. It says, "Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." These are the children of Israel telling Moses, "Didn't we tell you to leave us alone? Wouldn't it have been better for us just to serve these Egyptians? Yeah, they whip us. Yeah, they get mad at us. Yeah, you know, we're not really eating right. But it would have been better to serve them than for us to come out and die here in the wilderness, right?" The problem with that is that they became accustomed to slavery. They become accustomed and comfortable in it. How many of you are comfortable here? Oh, man. Oh, come on now. Why is everybody mad dogging me? Like I said, talk to me outside. See, we get into our comfort zones. We get into our comfort zones, and then we begin, "Well, I really don't want to lose this chair. It's so comfortable. I love the way my chair is so soft. It's so comfortable here. I love it here. It's nice, comfortable chairs. Everybody gets up like this. I don't know if I'm coming next week." And you're walking funny and everything. We get comfortable in our situations. "I don't know if I have to move forward. I don't know if we really should be doing this." Because you know that, well, you know. You know. We get in our comfort zones and we don't want to change. It's funny how we're constantly living in our past. Remember the good times we had here? Remember that one time at the park? Remember that one time at the barbecue? Wait, that was the same time, sorry. Remember that one time that we were all playing? Oh, wait, that was the same time also. It's funny how we concentrate on things that we used to do. Remember that one time we went outreaching here? That one time we went outreaching here? Look, I'm not saying forget everything that you've passed through. Remembrance is a good thing. It's great to remember the times that have passed. Those were all stepping stones. These all got you here to this place. As a matter of fact, when you look, when you feel down and you feel out of it, when you look back and you say, "Man, the Spirit of God was really flowing right there," you can turn back and see, "What was I doing that was different? Wait a minute, I was more in my word. Wait a minute, I was listening to this. Wait a minute, I was so much in my word," as a matter of fact. Those things are great, but don't dwell on it. Don't sit there and try to mock it. That was a time that had already passed. It's a time that you have to move forward from it. You have to learn to grow from these things. We can never move forward if we keep looking backwards or if we sit in our complacency. Listen to that. You know, this new church is another 10 minutes away from my house. That means Thursday nights, if I leave at 4 o'clock for a 7 o'clock service, I'll make it here on time. God bless you. No, no, no. Oh no, I'm not. Look, don't. I'm not trying to build myself up. I'm not trying to say, "Ooh, poor little me." No, 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 no. I'm excited. I seen faces out there that need to see God. I seen people out there that were walking in distress. I seen people that were just not in a good place in their lives. Now that's what we're called for. We were called to go over there to share the good news, to show them how well we live. How at one point in our lives, we were just like them, lost in a sea of weirdness. But now, since God came into our lives, since Jesus Christ showed us the way, now we're a better people. The Lord has been constantly proving himself to us, taking us through these dangerous areas, taking us through things that were seen and unseen. Remember, we were in a front yard. In the middle of our service, people would pass by and honk. I was elbow deep in worship, and the guy said, "Dinner!" I mean, I was afraid to get rained on. But God seen us through that. He grabbed hold of a people and said, "Look, man, there's more for you. All you have to do is hold on." So many times we give up and we settle for anything instead of receiving what God has for us. Look, in our time here, we were desperate. We were looking. We were out there. And everybody seen a building. Everybody said, "Over there. Over there. No, over there." How many of us prayed for that? How many of us truly took time to fall on our knees and say, "Lord, which direction do you want for us?" No, we all just drove around and said, "We got to find something. Look, it's a garage. Let's take it." Right around the block. Let us just go. It's Pastor Ricardo's front yard. Let's go to that one. Yeah, I know it's in Norwalk. See, we've always stopped short of what God has for us. We've always failed to follow and to listen and to hear out God as he moves forward. As we move forward. And what do? We sit back and we say, "Oh, it's because of our past." We sit back and we blame our past, our past heartaches, our past, all those things that happened to us in the past. "Oh, I've been church hurt. That's why we can't move forward. It's the church that did it." No, it's not the church. We blame bitter experiences. Remember that one time they left me? The whole church went and they didn't take us? They forgot to tell us? I was so offended. I wasn't listening. He called me some. He said I couldn't have coffee in the sanctuary. How dare he? Folks, let those things go. Let those things go. Let those things in the past go. Come on now. We are grown adults. We are men and women of God. If you have something with your brother or your sister, at the end of this service, I want you to walk up to him and say, "Look, man, I apologize." I bet you he won't even know that you got something against them. I bet you they won't even know that I said that. "Man, look, I apologize." Let those things go. Let's become a family once again. Let's move forward together. Right? We can't let these things hold us back, folks. God has already brought us out of a mess. And he's letting us walk into our promised land. But we need to let go of the past. Listen, I'm here to tell you that you need to drop that excess baggage. Because if you keep carrying it around, it will derail you from reaching your destiny with God. It will knock you off your tracks. It will. It's a real problem. It really is a problem. The real reason is that we carry that junk with us. Those past hurts. Remember that one time you told me that thing that about my hair? I got you, bro. It's not over yet. I had to go back and get another haircut that day. Look, I don't know what it is that holds you back, but you need to make that personal. You need to look into yourself and say, you know what? It was probably a mistake. Whatever it is that you're holding inside of you, call it a mistake. It was a misunderstanding. Let's move forward from these things. I know I'm not the easiest person to talk to. I know I'm not. My faces make some, I just... And it's really not that I don't like what you're telling me. I just got a funny face. Ask my wife. She says, what are you making that face for? I swear, there was a fly. Do you want that for dinner? It was a fly. Why do we have to let these things go? It's poison for you. It's poison for you. It's really not doing anybody else harm but you. You keep it inside of you and it becomes poison. It begins to eat at you. It begins to eat at your heart. And it makes it hard. It makes it callous. You don't need a callous heart. You don't need that in your life. Best thing to do is walk up to the person. Pastor Ricardo, look, you offended me the other day when you said, I'll apologize. I'll explain to you why I said it and where the Bible says that this is the way it goes. And if you find that I'm wrong, I'll accept it. I'll accept it. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not always right. That's my wife. I'm not always right. I make mistakes too. If I offended anybody here, look, I'm sorry. That wasn't my intention. My intention was to teach us, to help us learn, to move forward in the things of God, right? I love y'all. The Word of God says that we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. There goes those looks again. It's only by renewing our mind, renewing the way we think, that we can move forward from our desperation into our destiny. God has called us to let these things go. Folks, it's very important. Let's move forward from that. Our second point is found in verse 13 and 14. Open up your Bibles right there. It says like this, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you've seen today, you shall see again no more forever. For the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. In other words, don't be afraid. Chickens. Sorry, that wasn't from the Holy Spirit. That was all me. Sorry. Don't allow the enemy to keep you in the confinements of fear. Understand that. Don't let him build a box around you and keep you locked up. You know, I know people that sit in their house. They won't go out to go buy dinner. They won't go out to the market. They order everything. Why? They're afraid of mass shootings. They're afraid of everything that's going on. What if I get mugged? What if they steal my car? Then why did you buy a car? You bought a car to keep it in your parking lot? Come on. Stop being in fear. God's got us. God has us. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is nothing more than false evidence appearing real. It's a trick from the enemy. He'll keep you there, entangle you, entrap you, snare you as he builds a box around your mind and keeps you in fear. Timothy tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of sound mind. Folks, read your word. Folks, so if you're operating in fear, you're not operating in the power of the Lord, regardless of what it looks like. Somebody say that with me. Regardless of what it looks like, this place looked like it was it. We thought we were done here. We thought, oh, this is it. We're just such a wonderful, close-knit family. There's no need for it to grow. We love each other. Well, I love everybody except Pastor Ricardo. He's a weirdo. And we've closed our box. We made our box, locked the door. We said, that's it. That's all we need. And he's kept us in fear. That's why we don't walk out in outreach. That's why we don't go out and do the things that God has called us to do, because we're afraid that somebody new will come in and take our friend. We're afraid that somebody might come in and just say, you know what? I'm going to sit next to Brother Ray, Pastor Ray, and he's going to be my friend, and he ain't no longer going to talk to Ricardo. Right? We're afraid of what's going to happen. We're afraid to see what God can do, because it becomes more of us. We need to put in our time. We need to put in our effort, more commitment. We need to get here on time. We need to start doing things the right way. So we're afraid. We don't want to do all that. We're comfortable. We're in a spot where we're, oh, don't touch me. Stop, guys. You guys don't look at me like that. No matter how the enemy tries to plant the device of fear into your spirit, just stand bold on God's promise. Look at the problem. Israel didn't believe that God would bring them out. In spite of all he had already done, in spite of the plagues that he had casted on the Egyptians, they didn't believe that God would see them through. In spite of everything that God has done for us, we don't believe that this building is for us. We become afraid. Afraid. How many of you are afraid? Let's just be honest today. Only me? Okay. In spite of the dangers that he's got us through, in spite of all those things, taking us out of the bad weather, not keeping us out on the street when everybody said, you know what, if we don't get a building fast, I'm just going to go my way. Oh, come on. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Am I not speaking truth? Listen. It's okay. God still has us. We're in his hands, and the Bible says that nobody can pluck us from his hand. We're in a place where God is just moving us forward. All we need to do is trust. All we need to do is trust. The text says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What that means is take your hands off the wheel. It doesn't mean stand still and do nothing. He'll come right now. No, it means take your hand off the wheel, but continue to move forward in him. He sent us to a place to occupy. Occupy. Not to be a slave, but to occupy. In other words, be still, watch God move. Relax, take your hands off the wheel. Let God move. We've got to allow God to move on his time, not ours, his time. I told you guys how long it took me to be a pastor, right? I thought I was ready in 6 months. Hey, I'm not going to lie. They spoke life into me. They said, man, one day you're going to preach to the multitudes. I said, hey, I'm ready. What time is it? When's the next service? I got this. Right? He told me that 13 years ago. 13 years ago. And it took 12 years to be able to come and speak before some people. And then the moment I did get ready, I was so afraid I didn't want to do it. I was scared, terrified. Remember all the stuff I used to do? Remember all those things I used to go outreach. I used to do this. I used to talk to people one-on-one. I can't stand before a crowd, Lord. Why are you doing this to me? He said, weren't you praying for that? Come on, folks. Come on, folks. Isaiah 40 and 31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The secret in that is to wait. To wait. It says, with waiting comes renewal. With waiting comes a renewed faith. With waiting comes a renewed strength. With waiting comes a renewed zeal. You know that little spark that you have inside? It's about to become a big flame. And you're going to need to hold on. Because what God is doing, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. We've said it from the beginning of the year. The messages were coming forth loud and clear. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. It's the time to go. Prepare yourself. Gather your things. Put these things in motion. Start to learn. Start to move. Get more in your word. How many of you took that? How many of you said, I'm going to do it? Or how many of you just heard it and let it go out the other ear? You're going to be put to the test. We got 3 more weeks in this place. And then the fire of God is going to fall upon us, folks. What's my point? My point is when we learn how to look and look to our faith and depend on the Lord, God will begin to move on our behalf. He'll begin to work in the midst of our circumstances. He'll begin to operate in our favor. In other words, if we trust in Him and look to our faith, He'll begin to strengthen our hearts. And that's exactly what we need, a strengthening of heart, because our hearts get weak when things happen to us. Our hearts get weak when people come against us. Our hearts begin to get a little softer and start thinking, you know, I don't want to deal with that. I thought we were away from that. I thought that was part of the world. Why are they still backstabbing me? Why are they still doing things to me? Because people are people, folks, and it happens. People get upset and they say things about you. Do they mean it? I don't know. I don't know. Do you guys think that stuff hasn't been said about us? Man, it's a long drive. It's a long drive for me to be hearing things like that, you know? And, you know, sometimes you're like, man, it's too far to be, you know, be hearing all that backbiting and stuff. It's too far of a drive for that. I don't want to go. But you have to move forward. Yeah, people will talk. Oh, you know what? God bless you. I'm sorry if I offended you in any way. I apologize. But don't let it stop you. Don't let that be the end of your destiny. Don't let it be the wall that keeps you from getting into the promised land. We'll be able to stand still and let God do what He has to do. So stand still. Take your hand off the wheel. Watch God move on your behalf. Just like He did for Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20:17, it says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judea and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. That's a promise. Don't be afraid of what's out there. Yeah, it's a new city, different types of people. I don't even know why I said different types. We're all the same. We're all the same. We're all people, right? Different culture. It doesn't matter. We all have the same word inside of us. The same spirit that dwelled in Paul dwells in me. The same spirit that dwells in Pastor Pete dwells in me. And He dwells in all of you. That same spirit, use it. Move forward in it. Don't be stuck in these four walls. There's a world out there that needs to be saved, and we have the words to save them. I'm going to end with this. Verse 15. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Folks, that just says it all by itself. If you want to reach your destiny, if you want to attain and achieve all that God has for you, then launch out. Move forward. Do not be afraid of what is out there. For just as Jesus told the disciples in Luke 5, launch out into the deep and lay down your nets for a catch. That's what he's asking of us. Move forward. Go out into the deep. Go out into the waters of San Dimas and lay down your net. There's something for you to catch right there. There are lives out there. There are people that need to hear from him. We have those words. He's entrusted us with his words. He's entrusted us to carry his message forward. Don't be afraid. He's with us. And if he's with us, who can be against us, folks? Give God praise this morning. Listen, listen, folks. We have a lot to do. We have a lot of work to do. He's entrusted you guys, everyone here right now, to be part of the leadership. But you have to set your feet forward. You have to dig yourself in. Begin to let your feet root into the church so that you can be part of that leadership, so that you have something inside of you. You've been being taught. You've taken on all of these things, all these words that have been coming forth since the beginning of the year to prepare you for what God has for us. Get yourself rooted in. Get yourself rooted in. Do not allow the enemy to lie to you and tell you, hey, you don't really have to go to church. You don't really have to make it in to your service. You know, you can hear it over the radio. You can hear it on the app. You'll be just fine. No, you won't. That's a lie from the enemy. You need the fellowship. The Bible tells us, do not forsake the assembly of the saints. Don't forget that. I need to be part of you, Kimmy. Kim, I need you to be part of us. I need to be part of Pastor P, Sister Lupe. I need to be part of all of you. I need to be around you guys. I need Mr. Earl in my life. Why? Because he makes us whole. He completes us. We are a family, folks. We are a family, and we need to work in that. Don't leave. Hold on tight. Hold on tight. Because we're in for a good ride. Why don't we give God praise this morning? Well, folks, that was the end of my message. I just want to encourage you guys. Hang on tight. Hang on tight. Because God is doing something. God is doing something. And he's been preparing us. It's been 4 years of preparation. So we know we have something in us. Something that this world needs to hear. Amen? Pastor Pete, you have anything? You have anything? Remember, please keep Pastor Larry in prayer, George in prayer, every 3 hours, okay? So if what was it? The next one is at 12 o'clock. Pray for them. It's like medicine, folks. It's like taking their medicine, okay? At 3 o'clock, at 12 o'clock, he has to take it. Make sure you're in your prayer closet at that time. At 3 o'clock is his next dose. At 6 o'clock is the following one, 9 o'clock, and so on. Every 3 hours, okay? And it's for everyone, not just Pastor Larry, not just George, but it's for everyone, okay? Keep me in prayer. I'm battling. I get messages like this, and I, Paul says, unless I be disqualified, and I fight, you know, I fight the voices every day that say, hey, you shouldn't be a pastor. I fight them. Keep me in prayer. Keep your brothers and sisters in prayer. And let's pray our way out. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this word, my Lord God. We thank you that you have encouraged us, my Lord, to step forward. As we look at the red